Okay, so I know you're busy, so I want to ask just two questions instead of three, and you can just speed through this real fast. Sure. But I thought, if I have you here, may as well do some patron-only stuff. I'm interested, first off, I'll ask you the stock question I've asked everyone second, but first off, as sort of like someone in games journalism, what has been your experience in terms of like, so you talked a little in the podcast about like professional, not professional malaise, I don't want to make it sound like you were complaining, because certainly that wasn't it, but sort of like the professional exhaustion that I think happens to everyone no matter what their field is in. I know, for instance, like when I got my PhD, I didn't want to read another novel for a year, you know, like it just was not something I wanted to do anymore.
Yeah.
So how do you balance, or what is the sort of like effect of that malaise or exhaustion, or however you describe it for you? Do you have to, is it difficult to balance? Do you have sort of strategies?
I think not being a work martyr became really, really critical. Mm. And I think getting to a place where I knew exactly what I needed to do, which is why having a regular show is really useful, got me to that point. And I think that a lot of that couldn't have happened without unionization, actually. I know that's a weird turn to go, but like I feel like if you have a union, they will make it so you don't work long hours, that you don't have to work. And if you do, yeah, you understand that it's a collaborative thing. And, you know, after years and years of just like, you know, be like, okay, I'm just, you know, more over, you know, here's three more hours of unpaid overtime and, you know, several jobs even before this, I'm just like, just schedule your day correctly. And, you know, make sure you take your time off and go do it, because if you don't, you know, you don't. And make sure that what you're doing is, you know, make sure if you're having fun and you want to incorporate it as part of your work, you're aware that you're doing it because it is fun. And although, to be perfectly fair, I don't have to review games anymore. And that was a huge problem for a lot of people. yeah. I remember reviewing Fable the Ride. Or Fable the Journey, oh, no. the Kinect Fable game, and just hurting, ooh, my arms and, you know, just stuff like that. But, like, unionization helps, weirdly. And making sure that you get to a place, it may take a while, where you can just sort of actually take your time off and are aware that, you know, your time has value and your work has meaning. Hopefully, if you get to that place, that's great, you know, making sure you're in a position where you can, because otherwise you burn out, and like you burn out on a thing you like, which is like, you know, it's like eating too much cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously I like the unionization aspect, and I think that's very much, I don't think that's a weird turn at all. I think that's extremely salient. And of course your unionization process was highly publicized, and, you know, we were all rooting for you guys. And yeah, I mean, it's like it absolutely that it cuts down on those little extra things that can happen when you're just kind of not always precarious, but non-traditional or flexible labor.
Yeah,
I feel like without a union, that you can add a lot to flexible labor without noticing that it's a lot of hours.
Yeah,
basically.
You can really just add an hour here and add an hour here, and then you see when people do it, because you'll just, like, look at them. I'm like, how are you? And they're like, I didn't sleep a lot. I was doing a thing for a piece. And you're like, okay, you do need to do that. I agree. But be aware that you need to take time off sometimes and, you know, get to a place where you can take time off. And, you know, and that's why I'm saying, like, you know, a structural problem or a structural solution is much more helpful than just like, you know, how do you manage the day-to-day life of being a gamer and doing all this? It's like, well, get into a position where you can, where your workload isn't killing you.
Yeah. Get into a position
where
you're a good company.
Organize.
Yeah. And organize. That's actually the most important thing. And the other, I hadn't thought about that before, but the idea of just remembering that the thing you're doing is fun.
Yeah.
I found that that's something that I've had to work at a lot. Just as I've been playing more and more, as I've had to like make time and say like, I have to stay up to finish this game.
Yeah.
It's like, just remember, like, this is something that gives you leisure. It's something that like clears your mind too. Don't, you know, try and balance it. That's great. And congrats on unionization again. I don't know if I've ever gotten to congratulate anyone at Kotaku about that, but, I think it's great.
Yeah. It was that during the Hogan trial, like,
which
was a weird time to send a union contract.
It was incredible. I watched at I think I was looking at, I read all the yays and nays at Deadspin, with great fervor. I was glued to the screen. probably a little bit of an outlier there. I don't think a lot of people are glued to the screen about unionization efforts, but
it's usually not. Organization is usually not very interesting, but it's important. It's super important. Yeah. And I hope
it's extremely important.
I hope games development unionizes.
Oh man, they need it.
Yeah, or at least
they need it so badly.
Socialize video games. I don't know.
Whoa.
Hey.
I like it. This is good. I like where this is going. Actually, yeah, socialize video games would be just fine with me. Mm-hmm. But certainly unionize video games.
At least unionize, yeah.
Yeah, unionize them.
Or at least, well, you know, maybe even start with a living wage for a lot of people.
There you go. A lot of good art came out of the Soviet Union. You got Eisenstein, one of the most
interesting... He's the original gamer, yes.
Yeah, he is the... Thank you, you know exactly where I was going with that.
Battleship Potemkin, and then Potemkin from Guilty Gear. Think about it.
Actually, I did see another... I have to look into it a little bit more, but apparently the Soviets made arcade games, like, just before the collapse.
Yeah.
Never really got played.
There's a museum about that somewhere in Russia, I believe, that's really, really interesting. There might be some in that German...
So cool.
There's a video game museum in Berlin. They might have some of those. I don't know. But I need to go there the next time I'm in Berlin.
Just the next time you're there?
Yeah. I have friends there.
Do you go there a lot?
I've been there once. It was nice. It was super nice. Cost of living is really low. Yeah.
I'd love to visit. My wife wants to go there during Christmas. She wants to go to the big Christmas market.
She wants to go to Berghain and get tripping on Molly. No.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Cool. Nah, we don't really party that hard.
Berlin's a great city, though.
Yeah. No, it sounds great. I'd love to travel. I will again once the little one can stay a week at the grandparents' house. Okay, so the next question I've asked everyone, and I'm sort of it always puts them on the spot, so I'm sorry for that. But as a poet might say, given world enough and time, given all the institutional support, all the financial support, all the creative support in the world, there's no limits to you. You have all the skills and all the money. What is the game you would most like to create as sort of like a consumer or as an appreciator of video games?
I don't know if I would want to create a game. I don't know, because I don't know if I'd be good at it. I don't think I would. I would say, like, what is the game that I want made?
Might that's be a another way of answering
it.
Sure.
Because I wouldn't want
to. Yeah, absolutely.
God, I don't even know. Something cool. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard to really do that sort of thing because, like, then you enter into that sort of useless fantasy of, like, you know, it's sort of like when you think, like, oh, man, I would be cool if I was in this movie and I was Indiana Jones. It was really, really cool. And it's just, like, it's a hypothetical that, like, you know, oh, man, maybe it would be cool if I made the movie for Shadow of the Colossus, but there's no dialogue, man, no dialogue. You know, it's just, like, this hypothetical is that, like, it's a very five-year-old id thing for me to pursue because I feel like I would just get really earnest and like not think if that was a good thing or not. Like I wouldn't be able to like actually step back and be like, okay, but do you really want that? I don't know, some mech shit might be cool. Steel Battalion if it didn't suck. to play at least, not spiritually, because I love the Steel Battalion controller. Some kind of like Neon Genesis VR game might be chill, but like I'm pretty sure somebody might make a mech VR game like that.
Yeah, no, I like your answer though. I think like there's a quality to it that really ties into what we talked about in the last hour, which is like it's not a matter of just producing something. It's a matter of producing an idea and then having the wherewithal to sort of step back and say like, is this a good idea? Or is this idea salient? Or like, do people need this idea?
Actually, I think I have an answer. I thought of one. I want From Software to make a Metal Wolf Chaos sequel because Metal Wolf Chaos is a great game that is very, very stupid, but it reminds me of the things I love about like G Gundam and like really bad cheesy anime, and I think that it's very similar to Revengeance, which is one of my favorite Metal Gear games. It's probably my favorite Metal Gear game in that it is just so, it is what, you know, if you were in Japan and you saw America, you would assume America was. Is this just this sort of bloated, weird, confusing thing where, you know, the president is in a mech. And now that they have the resources to do it, it would be really funny if they just came out of E3. They've been, you know, they've done all these Dark Souls games and Bloodborne. And then they're like, fuck it, we're going with Metal Wolf Chaos. And we think it's the perfect time to do it now during the rise of neo-fascism and the Trump administration. We are going to just push forward with our Metal Wolf Chaos game. I think that would be so confusing and so surprising, but it would also kill. And it would
That'd be badass.
But it would also, there's also like a 70% chance that that game would suck. But that 30%, man.
Hey, I think if anyone can do it, it'd be From. I have a lot of faith in From Software.
The original game's not that. It's fun. It's actually a fun game to play.
I wasn't aware of it. I'm looking through images on my phone as you're talking.
Have you ever like watched the cutscenes?
No. This is the first time I've heard of it. I guess I got to do it.
For the record, Metal Wolf Chaos is a game about the president who rides a mech who has to face against the vice president who is also riding a mech and who has captured journalists at the Statue of Liberty, and it's all dubbed in English. And it's very over-the-top English, and it rules.
I really love the image I just found where it says, like, the President Michael Wilson, he will kill the vice president.
Yes.
It's like every tagline I have ever wanted to see in a video game just right there.
Yeah, there was a tone of stupidity, I think, that, like, mid-80s to early 90s, like, pop culture had that I think, like, Pacific Rim kind of had a little bit in terms of, like, mech shit, where it was just like, this is really fucking dumb, you guys. Let's just really lean into that. And, Michael Wilson just keeps, in that thing keeps saying, like, and I will do this because I'm the president of the United States. And he says it, like, fucking five times, like, a scene. It's great. It's
the vice president's name, Richard Hawk, and he has a mullet.
Richard Hawk.
This game looks very good.
It's so good. And if you haven't played that or Revengeance, I would recommend both. But, like, there's, like, a whole scene where he's like, you know, we want to sip on some Darjeeling tea. And you're like, what the fuck am I watching? What am I doing? Actually, Platinum could probably make a good Metal Wolf Chaos sequel.
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised you didn't think Platinum would be the one, but From or Platinum.
Because From made it. From made the first one. Yeah, no, sure. So I assume so, but like if they handed that off to like Platinum, I would trust them with my life on that game.
Nice. Okay, I love it. It's a great answer. And it introduces me to another incredible looking game that I'm going to have to find some way to play.
Yeah, so I think the Japanese ROM is around. It was Xbox. Xbox, the original Xbox, I think.
Xbox, just Xbox. Man. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for being on. Follow Chris at Papa Pichu. And anytime, man.
Cheers.
Cheers.